Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, I want to officially give you my welcome as well. So good to have you in the room, and also those that are watching from another room online. So glad that you're with us. And if I haven't told you in a while, I just want to say it right now. I want you to know that I love you. I really do. I care about you. You know, it's kind of funny. Every once in a while, I'll be texting with somebody, especially us guys. We can get kind of funny around that. And I'll say, hey, I love you, bro. And then it's just like, all right, see you later. Because we just feel awkward sometimes. But I'm just going to embrace the awkwardness because I really do love you so much. And so glad that you are with us. We know it's crazy out there, and so glad to have you. And for those that are new, we're in a series called When Life Gives You Dot, Dot, Dot. And if you've been around and you can help me finish that phrase, we know it's a very popular one. You can participate with me. But when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And in this series, we're trying to learn not just the easy lessons, but the hard lessons too. And we're trying not just to see our problems, and we all know we got a lot of problems in our world, but we're trying not to just see them as problems, but actually as opportunities for growth. In fact, my prayer for you and me is that we would get better and not bitter during these difficult days. And I believe these messages have been challenging you. I know they've been challenging me. And so we're going to lean into part three here today. So if you got a copy of God's word, would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? And if you're in the room, you don't have a copy of the text, it will be on the screen. But 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 3. And I'm going to read out of the NLT, the New Living Translation, this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Here's what God's word says to you and me. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles. So that's still relevant in 2020, right? In all our troubles, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, we don't like talking about that, do we? The more we suffer for Christ, I lost my place here. Where am I? Verse 5. The more we suffer for Christ, this is live, folks. The more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we're weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. Verse 7, we are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the troubles we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. Don't you love that? He will do it again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. The last verse, verse 11, and you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. For those taking notes, I'm calling part three of this series, There Is a Reason. There is a reason. Let's pray together. God, we love you so much, and it's just an honor and it's a joy to gather in your house with your people. It's an honor and a joy to stream these services live on our different platforms, God, to do whatever we can to not shy away from technology, but to lean into it, God, to leverage it for your glory. We want to tell everybody about the good news that we have If we want bad news, all we have to do is get on social media or turn on the news. But we've got some good news to share, and the good news is you, Jesus. And so may you speak loudly to everybody listening, God. May we all lean in, not just to learn the easy lessons, but to learn the hard lessons, God, to grow in our faith. In fact, every single summer, no matter what's happening in our world, we choose series, God, to dig deeper in our faith, God, to learn those hard lessons. So may we not shy away from it, but actually lean into it to grow and to get better, not bitter, during these difficult days. That's our prayer. That's my prayer for them. That's honestly my prayer for me, God. I've got a long ways to go in my growth, and so help me to grow. We love you and we trust you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm curious, and you can participate if you like, but would anyone here say that you hate pain? Would you raise your hand? You would say you hate pain. You could play along at home. It's more fun if you play along, but you don't have to. I think normally I would raise my hand for that, but I was thinking about that earlier this week, and I actually want to push back a little bit. Again, I probably would have raised my hand, but as I thought about it more, I think that statement, I hate pain, I think that statement is partially accurate, but not completely. And here's what I mean. I think we all hate pain if there's no purpose. I think we all hate pain if there's not a reason for it. I'll give you a couple examples if you're not convinced. I know some people, in fact, there's some people in our church family that they love to run marathons. Now, I call these people crazy people, okay? But we've got some people like that in our church, and maybe you're like that. I don't know. And think about a marathon. I've never ran a marathon before. I know that's shocking to you. You're like, oh, Pastor, you're so fit. How'd you get so fit? And thank you for that. I just wear bigger clothes, just buy bigger sizes, and I wear stretchy pants, okay? That's just how I get through this. I've never ran a marathon before, but I could imagine that once you get through a few miles, it starts to hurt, right? Like there's some pain involved. And here's what's interesting, is that even though there's pain involved, people still sign up for marathons. Even though it costs people money, did you know they're not free? Even though it costs people money not just to participate in the marathon, but to travel to the marathon, to buy a hotel and everything else. And here's why people still sign up for marathons. It's not because of the pain. It's because there's a purpose for the pain. It's because there's something great on the other side. There's nothing like crossing that finish line. People you don't even know cheering for you. People hang up medals in their home for the rest of their life. They put stickers on their car. Okay? God's really touching somebody right now. You can feel it in the room. There's a purpose for their pain. There's a payoff. Here's another example. I don't have a master's degree or a doctorate. Again, I know it's shocking to you. I've got nothing past my bachelor's degree. That's all I've got. But again, I can imagine that for those in our church that you have a master's degree, you have a doctorate, there's some pain involved in that process. Like there's a lot of pain. Again, they don't just hand out master's degrees, okay? Yeah, some people can contribute a lot to a certain campus and they get an honorary doctorate, which is a fake doctorate, you know? But besides that, it takes a lot of pain. There's a lot of studying. In fact, a lot of people get their master's and their doctorate while they're working and while they have young children. Trust me, I've got three of them. There's some pain involved in that process, but still people sign up and people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to get their degrees. And so again, you got to wonder, why would people sign up for this? Why would they do this? The reason why is because there's a purpose behind the pain. They have more opportunities opened up to them when they get their master's or their doctorate. And a lot of times they can make more money in their life. There's a purpose behind it. There's a reward on the other end. I know it's like this with the church. and with volunteers. I tell our staff this all the time. I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to tell you. Here's what I tell them involving volunteering. I said, people don't stop volunteering because it's hard. They stop volunteering because they feel like they're not making a difference. And that's true for you. If you've ever pulled out of volunteering at this church or another church, yes, life was hard and maybe you blamed it on that. But the truth is, if you really understood the eternal impact you were making, you'd be okay with your temporary pain. You see what I'm trying to say here? It's like that with tithing. If I know that my tithe is honoring God and making a difference, no one has to force me to give it. I don't have to be shown a sad video with puppies, okay, to be able to give. Like, no Sarah McLachlan music needed, okay? Like I'll give freely. I'll sacrifice freely because it's worth it. And so I hope you see where we're trying to get here today. And as we look at our main text, we find some more value in pain. We find some more worth even in the difficult season that we're all in. And so if you're taking notes, I just got 2 points. But number one is this from the text. I could talk about a lot of things. I'm going to highlight 2 things. The trouble you face or the pain that you're trying to endure, it helps you, number one, relate. Relate. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. And I'm just going to read verse 4, the beginning of it. What did we just read? He comforts us in all our troubles, so, somebody shout, so that we can comfort others. You see, when you go through some stuff, and I think most of us would say, yes, we are going through some stuff. When you go through some stuff, you can relate better with others who are going through some stuff too. And the Apostle Paul, who is writing here, another letter to the church of Corinth, he shares about his sufferings in Asia. And if you study different biblical commentaries, and I did this past week, there's a lot of debate into what specifically the Apostle Paul is referring to. Now, in general, if you know your Bible, and many of you do, if you know your Bible, you know that Paul had a very difficult life post-salvation. He got saved, and his life actually got harder here on this earth. Again, we don't talk about that one too much, do we? But it's the truth. And he had a difficult time here on earth, but it was worth the pain that he endured. It was worth it because of what he could accomplish for eternity. It's a different mindset. You see, during his life, Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, persecuted, wrongfully imprisoned, and betrayed, just to name a few. Like, some bad things happened to him. And as I studied the text more, it became very clear to me that the exact suffering he's referring to is not as important as the lesson that he learned from it. It's not about what happened to him. It's about what he did with what happened to him. And Paul says, because of what's happened to me, I can now help others who are going through the exact same thing. He says this, and this is important if you're a Christian. He says, as the Holy Spirit comforts me, I can then comfort somebody else as the Holy Spirit works through me. And that should be your weekly life as a Christian. That when God does something in you, it's not just for you, it's also for someone else. Can I get an amen in God's house? Like, you got to realize this. You got to understand this. It's a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit comforts me in my pain, and then somebody else who's in pain, I can comfort them, but I don't offer me. I offer the Holy Spirit to work through me to touch their life. This is so important. And so one of the greatest benefits, there's a reason, one of the greatest benefits to your present pain is that it can become a platform. It can. It may not become, but it can become a platform. So here's where it gets personal. I want you to ask yourself this question. In fact, I think it's going to be the best question you'll ask yourself all day. What have I gone through in my life that would allow me to help someone else who would have never listened to me before? Just think about that. What have I gone through in my life that God can use as a platform to minister to someone who would have never listened to me before. And what I'm talking about is a different perspective on pain. So let me give you a couple examples. If you're here in this room, in fact, we got many people in our church that have battled through cancer and come out on the other side in remission. If that's you, you should now allow God to use your story to encourage someone else who's at the beginning of their battle. I'm just telling it like it is, friend. This is how God has designed things for us as Christians. If you've gone through infertility, help someone else who's struggling to have kids. I've been very honest about my wife and I's journey. It was not an easy journey for us. We had our first child just really easily, like basically right after we got married, y'all. Boom, we're pregnant. What a surprise. And then after that, we had a long journey, and we had a devastating miscarriage. And I don't share that story openly because it's easy. I share that story openly because it helps people, because most couples, it's devastating, have gone through some form of a miscarriage, but we don't talk about it. And my question is, why? Why? My pain, and I'm not saying God caused it, but God can use it if I'll share my story. If you've been laid off before from your job, you've lost your job, you better believe you should encourage someone who just lost their job during the pandemic. I'm sure you've seen the stats like I have. It's by the millions, y'all. It's affected our church. It's maybe even affected you. And if you've been through that before and you saw God bring you through that, you should encourage somebody else. Here's what I'm trying to say. When someone, just think with me, when someone has been set free from drugs and they get in front of someone else who's currently struggling in their addiction, they have an open window that others will not have. They just do. Why? Because they can relate. And the Apostle Paul makes this as clear as day. I think about my own life. Again, I've got three kids under the age of seven, and two of those are two and younger, okay? And so we got some craziness in our house. And so when I look at somebody in our church or somebody outside our church that has multiple kids, but those kids are now adults, and those adults, they're adult children, they're thriving and they're living for God, they're on fire for God, they're making a difference. When I'm around somebody like that, you better believe that that person, that couple, has instant access into my life. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? I have zero interest in somebody without kids or somebody whose kids are messed up giving me parenting advice. I'm just gonna speak it like it is. Like, we all have that friend that does not have kids but wants to tell you how to parent your kids, right? Or we all have, I have those like friends that they've got one kid but you've got multiple kids and they think it's the same. No, it's not the same. Trust me, okay? And what I'm trying to explain to you is, on one example, somebody's backstory, somebody's testimony, it gives them an open window into my life, but somebody else, they do not have that open window. And so again, your pain can become your platform if you'll use it. And I'm just telling you right now, don't you dare waste your pain. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Allow God to use it. Allow God to minister through you. Again, the Holy Spirit comforts you, and then you're able to comfort someone else, not because of you, but because of the Holy Spirit working through you. This is the life that we should live. Use the platform God has given you. So again, just prayerfully think with me. I hope you'll participate in the message. What have I gone through that God can use to help someone else? That should be your consistent prayer as a Christian. In fact, I heard years ago, I believe I was in Bible college at the time. I think it was a professor, or maybe it was a friend of mine. I honestly don't remember who said it, but I remember what they said. And here's what they said. It encouraged me. It challenged me. It's going to encourage you and challenge you. They said this: Ryan, I want you to think about your prayers this last week. And if God answered every prayer of yours this last week, and the only person who was changed is you, then you've got a problem. And oftentimes, our whole prayer life is centered just around us. But we don't pray for the lost. Is anybody being convicted besides me right now? We don't pray for that family member. We don't pray for that friend. We don't pray for that crazy neighbor who drives us crazy. You know, they have a soul, right? They have a soul, and their soul is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And so think about these last 7 days. Like if God answered every prayer, would only your life change? Or would people's lives around you change? Would the lost be found? Would the broken be healed? Would God do miracles in somebody else's life? Or are you only praying for miracles in your life? I'm telling you, this is not just a surface level message. We're trying to go deep into the word of God. In fact, would you help me out? Would somebody shout, there is a reason? Come on, let's do that again. Somebody shout, there is a reason. There's a reason for your pain. Don't you dare waste your pain. Allow God to work in you first and then through you next. And really, this is the mindset change that leads to the simple idea that I've begun to embrace fully. And if you're taking notes, I hope you'll jot this down. Saved people serve people. Saved people serve people. And so if you would call yourself saved, I wonder, are you serving? If you would say that you've been set free by Jesus, I would wonder, are you sacrificing for God's kingdom? You see, as we follow Jesus and as we serve Jesus, it should be displayed in every area of our life. We should serve in the church. We should serve out of the church. And it's time that we allow God to use our pain. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about a testimony. You have a testimony. You should share your testimony. Well, Pastor, I'm fearful of getting on a microphone. Well, you have an Instagram account, right? Like, you got a Facebook account, right? You've got a pen and some paper at your house, right? You've got neighbors in your neighborhood, right? You got family members besides just your spouse, right? You should share your testimony. It may never be on a physical platform, but you have a platform nonetheless. It's time we share our testimony. It's time that we allow the God of the universe to minister to us and through us for them. And this is one of the reasons why we're so fired up about Serve Day. Like, yes, we've done lots of serving throughout the history of the church way before I got here a little over 2 years ago and a lot since I've been here. But to have one day, 3 hours where we're all focused, we're not just like serving on a church build like for our church, but we're serving for others, no strings attached. We're excited about this. In fact, I just got the shirts in this past week, man. Like, it just gets me pumped up. Like, we didn't just get adult sizes. We got kid sizes too. Why? Because this is a family affair. Mom and dad, your kids need to serve alongside with you. It's just the reality. They need to see mom and dad serving. Like, they need to see you. Say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we could spend this Saturday on our own, but instead we're going to serve someone else, not wanting anything from them. And so often here in our culture, what do? We serve people, but there's an alternate agenda. Like we're serving them, but we really want something in return. But this day, Saturday, July the 11th, like, there's no excuses. I'm not trying to guilt you in. I'm just saying you should make it a priority. Allow the Holy Spirit maybe to convict you, but you can sacrifice 3 hours to make a difference. You can sacrifice a Saturday to make a difference. It's what God has called us all to do. And if you're still not convinced, didn't even Jesus come to serve? God himself. To help others. And don't you think that when Jesus was living here on this earth that he was busy? Because that's our excuse, right? Don't you think Jesus had a plan? Don't you think Jesus came for a purpose? Like, he had some stuff to do. In fact, Jesus is so amazing. He's the opposite of a church planner. Like, all those church planners, like we're like, come on, let's pack the rows. Well, I guess not anymore, you know, because everybody wants to be distanced. But like still, back in the day, like just pack it out. Jesus would actually send people away, and Jesus would actually tell people, you can read it for yourself, like don't tell anyone else what I just did.
Like
Jesus tried to decrease the crowds around him. Jesus would sneak off, like go out the back door to try to get away from people. It wasn't because he didn't love people, but it's because he wanted to make sure that there was not crowds just come in saying, hey, what's going on? But that people could hear and learn and people could grow and that it could multiply out. It wasn't just about a packing out a building. Because what do we do in churches? Oh, man, we had this big, huge blowout. We had this big, huge thing. It's not about just come and see. It's about go and tell. What does the Great Commission say? Go, go. The going is understood, by the way. Just go. Get out there. Tell somebody. It's not about just getting a crowd in one area. It's about moving out and multiplying and mobilizing for the kingdom of God. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life as a ransom for many. So here's where it gets this real personal again. Like, what's your excuse to not serving someone else? Because Jesus could have had many excuses. What's your excuse? And unfortunately, what happens in the church world is that when our life gets crazy, the first thing that we drop is serving in the church. Somebody's getting convicted right now because y'all know it's the truth. First thing we drop, and I wonder, should that be the first thing? Because oftentimes when you serve someone else, God does something powerful in you. Can anybody testify to that? I went on a missions trip to serve a group of people I had never met before, but God did more in me than he even did in their life. And again, you can get mad at me all you want, but I'm pretty sure I'm just reading and preaching from scripture, right? This isn't the book of Ryan. This is the book of books. This is the Holy Bible. So you can be mad at me, but I'm just preaching God's word. So when you shoot your bullets at me, I'm going to hold up the Bible because you're really going to have to shoot the Bible down, okay? I'm just preaching the truth. So you should serve. You should serve. You should serve. What did I just say? You should serve. And I'm not asking you to do anything that I don't do, okay? We should make a difference. God says, use your pain. And I just got to be real with you. I am sick and tired of the church, at like the Big C church at large, being known more for what we're against than what we're for. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy, y'all. Like, here's what I want for Christ's covenant. I just believe this, and I just speak this in faith out loud in front of you, that we will be known as a church that serves and cares for others, that we will be a church that loves other people, that we will be a church that's all about making a difference, that we will be a church that preaches the gospel unfiltered with our words, but also with our actions. Can I get an amen in God's house? We will be this church. And I know that's not comfortable, but it's not my job to comfort you. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And I've told you before, and I'll say it again, I play a really bad Holy Spirit, okay? Like the Holy Spirit's the one who comforts. The Holy Spirit's the one who convicts. And so we must serve other people. In fact, so many of us, we're like in a bunker right now. In fact, let me just talk to those of you online. Like we're kind of huddled up in a bunker, can't go out anywhere. Did you know you can still serve from home? Like you could start a Facebook watch party and help people hear the good news, the gospel. You could send people links to the services, to the messages. You could bring a small group of people together in your home and have church at home. We all did it for 2 months and you can still leverage what you have to reach people. What I'm trying to say is there is no excuse to not advance the gospel, the good news of Jesus. All right, I got to move on. I'm losing some people right now. Number two, second point. I could say more, but I'm going to move on. Here's the second point. The troubles we face and the pain we're trying to endure, it helps us rely. Rely. Helps us relate, but it also helps us rely. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 18, part B, through verse 9. And I just want to read the end of verse 9. Here's what it says. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. I have so much respect for the Apostle Paul. And if you've grown up in church, I'm sure you do too. I mean, the best of the best, in my opinion. The best of the best. Wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, only think about it. Only, like, forget all the church plants for a moment. Like if the Apostle Paul, just being led through the Holy Spirit, if he just wrote one book in the Bible, he would be a baller in my mind, okay? Like, just one book. Think about what he wrote thousands of years ago is still helping us today. Like, talk about a legacy. Like, talk about making a difference. But he wrote multiple books. He planted multiple churches. I've got so much respect for the Apostle Paul, and his transparency in what we just read is so helpful for me. It's so helpful. Because it's like easy to, for me at least, to put him like on a pedestal. Like, he's the man. And yet here, he doesn't talk about his accolades. Here he's transparent and vulnerable. Isn't that actually what we want in our leaders, right? I made a decision a while ago, like I'm going to stop pretending to be perfect. Like, I'm just going to be honest with people. And if people don't like it, that's okay. But I'm just going to be honest. And I think most people will like it because they're looking for somebody to actually be honest. Like, somebody to be open. And so I've said it before, I'll say it again. Like, if you're looking for the perfect pastor, you at the wrong church. Wrong church. Just ask my wife. Ask my kids, okay? You're at the wrong place. Like, I'm just going to be real with you. And I plan on talking about this more next week, but I just got so much respect for the Apostle Paul. And it's just incredible because, again, he doesn't talk about all the great things he's done. He says this. He says, all of this pain I'm enduring, all of this pain I'm experiencing, it's actually helping me not to rely on myself. I never would have thought that was a problem for the Apostle Paul. I know it's a problem for me to rely on myself. And if you're honest, maybe it's a problem for you to rely on what you can do. And so his transparency is so helpful. And as I look at what's happened in our world the last few months, I think this is so true for many of us. Like, many of the things that we used to rely on before 2020 hit, we can no longer rely on, right? I know for a lot of people, we relied on our job, on our money, even if we didn't have a lot of it. Like, we relied on that paycheck. Most people live paycheck to paycheck. It's something like over 70% of Americans, something like that. And we relied on that job, but how many of y'all know we can't rely on that job anymore? Even if you still have one, you hear the rumors going around in your office. If you're still working from home, you've got coworkers. Hey, I heard this, I heard that. I know many of us, we used to rely on our own plans, what we could plan. We got this coming up, and if this happens, then we'll do this. How many of y'all know we can't rely on our own plans anymore? Just wait another day, and another announcement will be made in Harris County, okay? Just wait another 48 hours, and the governor will have another news conference, or the president will have another, like just ongoing. We can't rely. Like, you can plan something next week, but it's very likely it won't happen. Right? That's the culture, that's the world that we're in. So what I'm trying to help you see is maybe one of the good things, there's a lot of bad. I'm not trying to belittle the bad. There's a lot of bad. It's really there. It's touched almost every single family in our church, if not every family, in some capacity. But maybe, just maybe, one of the good things that God can bring from this is that the things we used to rely on, we can no longer rely on. And we're forced to rely on God. I'm trying to help you see differently. Because when you see the pain, that's all we can see oftentimes. That's why many of us would raise our hands. I hate pain. I hate pain. Take it away. Take it away. But a mature Christian, and I hope you desire to be mature, a mature Christian, yes, acknowledges the pain, but a mature Christian prays this kind of prayer: God, how can you use my pain? How can you use my testimony? Now, I'm not there, but I want to get there. And what I really think we're talking about this morning is pride. Pride. That's what self-reliance is. My plans, my way, what I want. The great theologian William Barclay has a helpful quote about this. I want to share this with you, give you a thought or two, and then we'll pray. Here's what he has to say about this. Pride is the ground in which all other sins grow. I want you to let that sink in. Pride is the ground all other sins grow in. And the reason why he can say this and the reason why that I believe this is true is because, again, pride is you relying on yourself. It's you putting yourself on a platform that only God should be on. Maybe I'll say God's way is best, but I'm living my best life now. Maybe I would say, God, your will be done, but I'm living, God, my will be done. Maybe I'd shout in a church service and clap behind a preacher, God, may your will be done in my life. But everything I pray is according to the will of Ryan. I'm just going to believe that your silence today is because you're being convicted, all right? I'm just going to believe that. Because I'm preaching the truth. I'm preaching the truth. May we no longer rely on ourselves, but may we rely on God. And so another great benefit to pain is that it pushes us to rely on Jesus. So no matter what you face in this moment, because our pain is real, the job loss, fear, depression, sickness, any number of things, allow it to push you towards God. Allow it to push you towards Jesus, to run after him in your pain, to put your trust in him again. I wrote it down this way, to go back to your first love. Remember when you were sold out, when you just got saved? Remember when you were all about Jesus after God rocked your life at youth camp years ago? When God set you free from that addiction and you couldn't talk about anything else? You couldn't read your Bible enough? God's telling some of you, go back to your first love. Go back to your first love. You don't need more CNN or Fox News, okay? You need more Jesus. And so do I. And so do I. Don't waste your pain. Let's grow together. Let's pray. Jesus, I can't see it, so I just believe in my heart that you're speaking to people in this room and in another room online. I just believe in the supernatural that you're working. I know this is not an easy message, but I believe it is so necessary. We have so many immature Christians walking around. I pray, God, that you'd help us to hear from you. Help us to have the mindset of the Apostle Paul. Hey, God, I know you didn't cause this pain, but I pray you'd use it. I pray you would use my pain to become a platform that I could encourage the Church of Corinth, that I could encourage Christ Covenant Church thousands of years later, that I can relate to what they're going through. In the same way they're going through something hard, I've been through some stuff, and God got me through it. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, and he lives in you. That God's rescued you before, and he'll rescue you again. May we start serving again. Even if we got to get creative, if we're staying at home, may we serve again. Instead of just asking somebody to serve us, may we serve someone else. Holy Spirit, convict us where we need to be convicted. I pray, God, for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that they've been relying on themselves. It's called pride. I pray, God, instead they would rely on you. In fact, with every head bowed, every eye closed in this room and another room, if you be honest before the Lord and say, you know what, I've been relying on myself. The Holy Spirit is convicting me right now that I've had pride. Maybe you didn't even realize it before this day. But I've been relying on myself. I've been having pride, and I know it's a sin against God. And today I want to commit my life or recommit my life to Jesus. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I can see it? God, you're so good. Respond online. Just be honest before the Lord. God knows your world. God knows your heart. Jesus, we pray right now. And we ask you to forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our pride. Forgive us for relying on ourselves. May we rely on you. I pray, God, you'd help us not to waste the pain. But Holy Spirit, even now, we know you convict, but even now, would you come and comfort? In fact, it's one of your names, the Comforter. May you comfort us in our pain right now. The pain is real. We're not pretending it's not there. It's real. So may you comfort us, we ask. And as you comfort us, I pray that you would also embolden us to share our testimony, to share our story with others. There's a reason for our pain. It's an opportunity for you to minister to us, Lord, but also in time to minister through us for someone else. May we be conduits of the Holy Spirit. That you bring your comfort to us and then operate through us. This is the deep Christian life that you have for us. We're no longer in the 3 feet of water, the shallow end. We don't have our little floaties on anymore. We're in the deep end. May we learn this hard lesson now. May we grow more mature now. Help us to run after you, even in our pain. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me?
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.